Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Happy Friday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and of course,
start spreading the news.
It's Friday, so we got to throw that out there. That, of course, means Schomburg Stu is here.
Ready to rock and roll.
All right. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs are going up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for something popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Sadly, we're still looking for Stu to get on Twitter. I told you by the end of the year is what our goal is there. But you can find me at Burke Time. And as always, you got something for Stu, ship it off to me, and I will make sure he gets it. So there you go. We're off and running. And I need to make just a desperate plea to start the podcast. And I don't know if anybody's going to listen, but you know, obviously I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook as well, you know, to keep up with all the Sports Time Radio stuff. And I got to tell you, if you're a Cub fan or you think you're a passionate Cub fan or whatever kind of Cub fan you think you are, please delete your social media accounts, because all anybody came off as yesterday was just incredibly whiny. It was one game in June against what is possibly the best team in baseball right now. Yeah, they lost. There's a good chance they're going to lose tonight because they don't do well on the West Coast. Please don't get on your social media and whine like everybody was doing yesterday. It was just an incredible nightmare. I mean, we're 68 games in. It was game 68. You know, if it was game 7 of the World Series, I would have given it to you. If it would have even been a playoff game. But it was a regular season game on a West Coast trip against a pitcher, by the way, who will be in the Hall of Fame when his career is all said and done. Please, just go right now and just delete it. Twitter and Facebook. You can keep the other stuff because I can't see it. But, God, please, help me out. It was ridiculous looking at my timeline last night and just watching the stupidity come out of these people. It happens. John Lester had a bad outing. It's going to happen. Every pitcher has one. Just please go away. Find another team to root for or something. Something that won't bother me as much, but please stop. I mean, you just look terrible. It's not like the team's going to go 162-0. So give me – oh, it was a nightmare. You wouldn't have believed it. It just ruined my morning.
Well, I've got one thing to say about that. It's a good thing I'm not on social media.
Not on social media? You're one of the guys I was complaining about? Yeah, I mean, it was just – some of the stuff I was reading, I mean, you would have thought they had just given away the World Series. And – it's like, like I said, I mean, the Dodgers, I'm trying to think let me see if I can get the record here.
Let's see. Isn't that the
best record in baseball? Yeah, tied for the best record in baseball with the Astros, actually. The Twins are a game behind.
Yeah.
So obviously it's never any shame to lose a game to Clayton Kershaw. So, it was just baffling, so many people crying, and I didn't even realize there were that many Cub fans out there on my social media, but oh, man, they came out of the woodwork, and I was like, please, just shut up.
You know, when I think of scourging, what the scourging about the thing is that they had a 3-0 lead in the fourth inning.
Yeah, you know, even so, I mean, obviously it sucks that they blew it. You know, I mean, they were in a good spot, but, you know, these kind of things happen over a 162-game season. You know, if it obviously if it happens too many times, then it's a problem, but this doesn't happen to John Lester all this often. I mean, you know, there was just no reason to be, you know, up in arms like they were and, you know, basically – you know, standing on the ledge ready to just walk off. It's like, relax. It's okay. They're coming back tonight. Kyle Hendricks has been pitching pretty well. So, you know, let's, you know, see how that works out before we decide to, you know, commit Harry Carey here. And of course, as we know, they don't play well on the West Coast during the regular season. So this, you know, it shouldn't have been a huge shock.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they did not win a game last year on the road against the Dodgers. Is that correct? And when was the last time they actually won a game there, other than the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I don't have, you know, the records in front of me, but, you know, I mean, on the plus side, at least this is the only part of this trip. You know, they had Colorado and Los Angeles, and then they're coming home. So it's not going to be extended where they'll, you know, they'll go on any kind of long West Coast losing streak like we've seen. So, it's three more games. You know, again, Kyle Hendricks pitches tonight. Maybe he can get them back on track. I know Rich Hill has pitched well for the Dodgers lately, but, you know, you never know. I mean, he could last an inning and come up with a blister or some other kind of injury that he's well known for. And, you know, it could be a different game. So, take a deep breath, come back in off the ledge, and go feed the cat or something, you know.
Tuesday and Wednesday, by the way, next week should be very interesting. And we're going to play the White Sox. And correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Giolito scheduled to pitch for the White Sox next Wednesday against the Cubs? He's pitching tonight against the Yankees.
He's going tonight, so... Does the math work out there? I'm not sure where the White Sox are in the rotation. Let me see if they have it projected out this far. Yeah, as of right now, it's Giolito versus Lester on Wednesday. So
that should be very interesting because he has turned out to be, and I don't know what's going on, the turnaround, but he's got a 9-1 record, one of the best pitchers right now, and in the American League, and he's got to be a lock for the All-Star team.
So, yeah, well, you know, he's going tonight, and, you know, this was the pitcher that the Nationals thought they had when they drafted him, I don't even know how many years ago it was. I believe he was a first-round pick, possibly? I don't know if my internet will catch up with me fast enough to figure that out. But, yeah, you know, right now he's 9-1 with a 2.28 ERA. And he was a first-round pick of the Nationals back in 2012. So, obviously, you know, there was something there to get him to the upper echelon of the draft. You know, he really struggled in Washington. You know, his first year in Chicago, he showed a little something, but it was just 7 starts. You know, last year there was flashes, but all in all, he was terrible. He was 10-13 with a 6.13 ERA and 32 starts.
Yeah.
And maybe
last year.
You know, maybe they tweaked his delivery a little bit, or, you know, those kind of things happen with pitchers. And, you know, Don Cooper is known for turning these kind of guys around. So, you know, maybe the White Sox ended up getting a big-time steal in that trade.
Right, I'm sure that Washington is not happy about the way Eaton has performed with them, and it's turning out to be a good deal for the White Sox so far.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was just, a huge win for the White Sox. I mean, not only did they get Giolito, they got Ronaldo Lopez, and then they also have Dane Dunning, who I'm trying to remember if he's injured or if he is if he's back from an injury. I don't remember here. Yeah, he hasn't pitched this year, so I believe he's one of those guys hanging on Tommy John. But, you know, he's another guy that's supposed to be a big time top of the rotation guy. I mean, you know, Lopez had some fantastic games last year for the White Sox. I know he hasn't been quite as good this year, but man, if they get three guys who fit into their rotation for Adam Eaton, you made a hell of a deal.
Yeah, you sure have. And I emailed you this, and I'll be very, very interested to see what kind of a crowd that the White Sox get tonight, because the Yankees are playing. That's always been a huge draw in Chicago. And two, Giolito is pitching for the White Sox. So those two in combination would seem to me that they should have a much, much better crowd than normal. And I'll be disappointed if they don't get at least 25 to 30,000 people tonight.
You know, last night when I had the game on, it looked like they had more people there than normal, you know, especially for a Thursday night. So, it's definitely a draw. You know, you would hope they'll start to come out to support, you know, the team. And, in reality, they're playing better than I think a lot of people thought. They're hanging out around 500, and, it's not a bad deal if they can, you know, stay here. I mean, I don't think they're a playoff team, but, you know, if they finish 80-82 or 81, that's a huge success.
Well, they certainly seem to have turned it around this season, at least as far as I can see so far. They got a lot of young players, and it looks like Anderson is having a great, great year. And Jimenez, with a slow start, has started to play a lot better. And McMahon has been a real surprise. Of course, we don't even know if they're going to keep him throughout the season or not, but they have been a surprise, and they might wind up in second place.
Yeah, possibly. And, you know, if 500 could get you into second place in that division. So, you know, I mean, they're in third right now, so it's not like it's out of their reach. But, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you know, they still have the things I'm not thrilled with. I mean, like everybody else, I think they strike out too much. But, you know, and I'm not excited about the fact that, you know, Yonder Alonso's hitting .178. But, you know, he's got good career numbers, so hopefully he comes around, and, you know, we'll see how it works out. But, yeah, they've been a nice surprise, and, you know, we'll have to see if they can keep it up. I mean, you know, like I said, it's, you know, 60-plus games in, so there's still a long way to go.
Long way to go, and they have a good closer, too, so far. And I've got a feeling that, though, he may be trade bait later on during the season, along with McMahon.
Yeah. You got to think he's, because I think he's only there on a one-year deal. So you got to figure, you know, any team looking for some bullpen help is going to come calling there. And, I don't think it would take much to get him, you know, a mid-level prospect or something for the White Sox to look at. Will probably be all it'll take, as long as you're picking up the remainder of his salary. So it should.
I got a feeling he'll be gone before the midseason, and along with McMahon.
Yeah, you know, and I was wondering, you know, I figured, you know, John Jay wasn't long for this team, but of course he's got to get healthy first and prove that, you know, he's going to be able to contribute. So we'll have to see how that works out. But I think he's on a rehab.
He hasn't played one game yet. Is he still rehabbing in the minors?
He started his assignment.
Okay.
So,
but he hasn't played for them yet. He hasn't been back to the major leagues yet.
No, not yet. So, well, you know, we'll see how things work out there. But, at this point, I still think the main reason for that signing was they were hoping to land Machado. And now that, you know, there's no Machado, I don't think there's really a reason to hang on to him. If you can get something for him, I think you should go ahead and make that move. So,
yeah, I would think so. And Machado certainly hasn't been all that great this year either.
No, you know, both the big-time free agent signings have really scuffled. You know, Machado hasn't done much. Bryce Harper hasn't done much. So, you know, you got to wonder as, you know, more and more of these guys look for those, you know, big $300 million deals, if teams are going to start thinking a little differently, you know, when it comes to that. Because, you know, Philly's got, what, 12 more years of Harper? So hopefully he gets it going for him. And, you know, I don't remember what Machado got. Did he get 10 or did he, you know, whatever he got? So.
Yeah, I think that you're right, though. I think that the teams are going to be a little bit more studious before they bite the bullet and sign one of these major free agents acquisitions, because it doesn't always work out to their satisfaction.
No, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously on the plus side, you know, the Phillies are contending, you know, the Padres are another one of those teams who's doing a little bit better. You know, they've fallen under 500, but, you know, they got off to a really good start. You know, so they're, you know, as of right now, they're probably still doing a little better than people thought. But, yeah, you're going to have to start looking and, you know, who's, you know, if this all ends up being, you know, worth it for them.
Yeah, it should be very interesting down the
road. You know,
that race is definitely settled in the National League, the only one of the three divisions where it's finished already, as is the American League Central, and the American League West are probably settled too. So there's three divisions that are up for grabs, one in the American League and two in the National League as we stand right now.
Yeah, you know, just kind of cruising over the free agent list, there aren't really any gigantic names as for hitters kind of hanging out there as of next year. So I don't think we're going to see, I mean, unless JD Martinez opts out, but, you know, A, I doubt he will, and B, I don't think he's a $300 million guy. So,
no.
You know, other than that, I don't think there's that guy out there like there was this offseason. There will be some bigger starting pitcher names. I mean, obviously, you know, Madison Bumgarner will hit the market. You know, Cole Hamels, even though he is 36, is having a fantastic year for a contract year. You know, Corey Kluber will probably be out there, but he'll be coming off the injury. You know, Jake Odorizzi is another guy. You know, he's having a great year, and he's in a contract year. So there, you know, there will be some bigger kind of name pitchers, but you know, they're not getting through.
Will there be that big a market, you think, for Bumgarner?
Oh yeah, yeah. He'll far and away be the hot guy when it comes out, even with you know, the way things have kind of went for him. So I still think, yeah, I fully expect him to be traded. I don't think he finishes the year with the Giants because, you know, they're 10 under and they look terrible. So, you know, let's get the rebuild started, and he's your big piece.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you got it. And, you know, like, you know, he's, I mean, he hasn't been terrible. The ERA is a little high for the National League at 3.83, but with the way the ball is gassed up this year, I'm not surprised that these ERAs are higher than you think.
Is Samardzija also going to be a free agent?
No. He's still got a couple years left on that deal, I believe. So, you know, I know his name came up in a trade rumor already to the Rangers. Yeah, he signed till 2021. So he's got two more years on his deal there. And he's pretty well paid. He's due to make 18.9. Well, so actually, he's only signed through next year. He's due to make 18.9 next year. So.
Well, that's a nice number.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's another guy. His ERA has been really solid. It's at 3.72, but obviously he's on a bad team, so he's 3-5. But he's made all his starts, you know, 13 starts. So,
yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned that the Rangers, right? They're thinking about getting him.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Well, they've been a surprise team. They're one of the surprise teams in the American League this year.
Yeah, well, you know, they're the difficult part for them is, you know, they're hanging around in contention for that wild card. But, you know, I don't think you could name, you know, two or three of their guys in their rotation. I mean, I could give you Mike Minor, and, you know, I still think it would be like shooting fish in the barrel for the rest of them. So, but yeah, they're in desperate need of starting pitching. I believe Jesse Chavez is actually making the start tonight for them. So they're going to take him out of the bullpen. But it's a little weird there. I know they had some luck with Adrian Sampson, but he got lit up last night. So you're wondering if the league is maybe kind of figuring him out now.
Yeah, that's possible.
And yeah,
it's possible.
Like Lance Lynn has 7 wins, but that ERA is 4.40, and you're not going to win too many games if that ERA stays there.
No, for sure. Yeah, you know, it's possible that Boston doesn't even get in as a wild card this season, which is kind of a shock.
No. Yeah, you know, well, you know, it's looking more and more like, you know, we're going to get 2 teams out of the AL East. I don't know which 2, but we're going to get 2. And then Boston is right there with the Rangers for that next spot. And, you know, Cleveland is still hanging around. They're actually 1 game over 500, just like the A's are. And even the Angels are still hanging around. You know, they're just 1 under with 34 wins. So they're all, you know, they're all right there in a bunch. I mean, hell, you could even throw the White Sox in because they've only got 3 less wins than the Red Sox or the Rangers. But, yeah, it could be, you know, Boston could be that team kind of on the outside looking in. And, you know, I think they deserve it after the outing David Price had last night. I mean, he'd been rolling along, and he was a complete embarrassment last night.
Wasn't one of his better efforts, was it?
Oh, God, no. What he last? I think he last 1 2/3 innings or something like that. And, I mean, it was just disastrous. So, you know, and who, you know, I don't know what the issue was, or, you know, maybe his hot streak just kind of came to an end. But, yeah, it went it definitely went down in flames.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. The East, by the way, the East is really going to be down to the wire type with 3 teams kind of fighting it out there. But Boston could be the odd team out, as you mentioned.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you know, kind of looking at them, I mean, I can understand why I had to look at Price's line here. It was actually 1 1/3, and he gave up 6 earned. So, yeah, not a stellar outing. But, yeah, you know, you kind of look at, you know, what they went in with, and, you know, you can understand the hole they're in. I mean, they chose to go the Cub route and not find a legitimate closer, you know, and they started with Ryan Brazier, who does have 6 saves, but he stunk lately, and now he's on the bereavement list. You know, Matt Barnes has kind of taken over, but, you know, you're still looking at a closer with a 3.5 ERA, which isn't good in that role. So, you know, they kind of shot themselves in the foot. They really only have 4 legitimate starters, and that's if you're counting Eduardo Rodriguez, who's got a 5 ERA as of right now. So, yeah, you know, they, for whatever reason, the big offseason signing was Nathan Eovaldi, and I guess somewhere along the line they were buying that, in the vein of Brandon Morrow, that he was going to stay healthy and actually be helpful, and, you know, he made 4 starts, and he's been on the DL ever since, or IL, excuse me, IL.
Right, that's right, and, yeah, they're going to be hard-pressed to get into the playoffs this season, I think.
Yeah, you know, and then, well, you know, and then it seemed like they kind of screwed themselves early the way they handled their pitchers, you know, in spring training, because they were worried about, you know, Pitt playing into October, and, you know, Chris Sale got off to a horrendous start that cost them a lot of games because he wasn't ready to go, you know, to start the season. You know, he's been much better now, but, you know, you can't get those games back. I guess they forgot that those games in April count.
They count just as much as August and September, don't they?
So, you know, and I mean that, you know, and that kind of factors in how baseball goes now, where everybody is afraid of a pitcher. You know, I mean, oh God, no, he's going to get hurt if he pitches, you know, into the sixth inning or however it works out. So, you know, I mean, that's, you know, just kind of, you know, the more BS where baseball falls into this. And I don't get the idea. I don't know why these guys all of a sudden magically became so fragile. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, you would think that it would be just the opposite. We've talked about this before, but with better nutrition, better medicine, better training and everything else, exercises, you would think that they would be more solid in terms of a career injury-free, but it's turning out to be just the opposite.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, it's been, you know, been kind of strange. I mean, when you see you know, see things go down, it's just kind of like, oh, wait, this guy, how did this guy get hurt? You know, and, well, he's a pitcher. That's how he got hurt. That's probably,
yeah, and you think of the longevity of some of the old-timers like Bob Gibson and Fergie Jenkins and Greg Maddux and some of the other ones, and you wonder what has changed in baseball that accounts for all these pitchers getting hurt.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know there's no real answer, but I've always kind of sided with the fact that, you know, they screw these kids up really early. You know, I mean, if they think you're a pitcher, if daddy thinks you're his meal ticket, you pitch, and you pitch all year long. There's no, you know, there's no rest break. Even if you're, you know, in a cold weather city, you know, you're pitching in whatever facility you can find, or, you know, however that kind of works out, you're out there, you know, working it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, you're going to pitch, you're going to get your innings in, or however you want to look at it. And I think down the road, it costs these guys, because, you know, they shouldn't be doing that. I mean, you know, let them play another sport, but God forbid they get hurt playing basketball or something like that.
Right.
And, you know, there goes daddy's meal ticket because the kid got hurt.
Yeah, in Little League.
Yeah.
Probably know the answer to this one. In Little League, do they allow the kids to throw curveballs? Or
yes.
That you can do that.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's sorry.
Oh, who? Want to join us, Linda? You can talk.
I don't know. Linda, I thought Linda was going to come in and talk about a little basketball or some hockey or pro wrestling, but I guess not. She changed her mind. I was hoping that she would have something important to say that we could discuss, but maybe wish me happy Father's Day, anything, but I guess that won't happen.
Better than just Dan's dogs barking in the background. At least it was an actual person for a change. So, you know.
Yeah.
But, I thought I saw that the Little League World Series limits curveballs, but I'm not honestly sure about that. You know, like, I know, you know, I coached Little League for years, but this was a long way back. And, yeah, they allowed the kids to, you know, throw whatever you want.
Yeah, that's
you know, and of
good.
Course, you know, well, you know, and the biggest problem with that is you've got – you know, I guess steal a Sarah Palin reference, you got Joe the plumber coaching the Little League team who doesn't know how to throw the curveball correctly. So instead of throwing it properly with your fingers, you've got a kid snapping his wrist, which, of course, puts all the pressure on the elbow. And, of course, that leads to the shoulder. And then you tear up the arm when the kid, 11, he's throwing, you know, 20, 30 curveballs a game, doing it incorrectly.
You've coached, as you pointed out. Is it more difficult for a kid to throw a slider or a curveball? What's more difficult, harder on the arm?
You know, they always said the slider was, and, you know, like I worked with the older kids, so they were a little more mature. I spent most of my time coaching the 13 through 15-year-olds, but a lot of them, you know, the mindset you get in is you don't want to turn that wrist, you know, because that's going to lead to all your problems. You've really got to be, you know, diligent about using your fingers and how you rotate stuff. And, you know, the majority of them had problems understanding the mechanics of a slider. So, you know, it was just kind of easier to show them the right way to throw the curveball. And, you know, anybody can throw a circle change. It's one of the simplest pitches out there to throw. So, there's easily ways to teach these kids. You know, none of them could ever learn my knuckleball, but that's – no, I didn't expect them to. So
– yeah. Well, that's at least easier on the arm. But I've heard – but hardly any pitchers use this anymore. But I've heard that the pitch that can really mess up your arm is a screwball.
Yeah.
Although you don't see too many pitchers using it anymore, if any. I don't know. But it's a very effective
pitch if
you can do it.
You know, if you think about the release on it, you know, you're basically flipping your wrist the opposite way, you know, to release the ball on that angle. And
I know a lot of guys had
great success with it, but you know, like now, and especially with the way the baseballs are made, the seams are so high. All you really have to do is press a little harder on one side of the baseball when you're throwing it, and it'll cut inside just like a screwball.
Yeah, that could be an effective pitch, of course.
Yeah. So, you know, because that was the other trick you show them.
I was going to say one thing, that there is one very effective pitch, but I think I can only think of one or two pitchers that have ever used it, and it's no wear and tear on the arm. That's a knuckle curve.
Yeah.
Hardly any pitchers ever use it. I can think of one, an ex-Cub, who used it, and, of course, they traded him, and he became a lot more successful after they traded him. Now it's Bert Hooten, who had a terrific knuckle curve, but you don't see very many pitchers using that pitch.
No, there are a couple guys I know who dabble with it now. You know what I mean? Obviously, you know, Mike Mussina went to the Hall of Fame with it. But there are very few guys who use it as their, you know, what you would call their out pitch. You know, it's just one of those things you don't see a lot. Who knows the reason really behind it or anything. But of course now, you know, with, you know, everybody throwing 100+ miles an hour, that's really not a, you know, that's not a pitch you're going to get a lot of gas behind. So I can assume that, you know, and that, and I, you know, I'm sure there aren't a ton of people out there who can teach it. So, you know, it's going to kind of flip off or slide away until, you know,
yeah,
you find the right guy.
Did you see the interview yesterday when the White Sox game was in progress? They interviewed a fan, an old-time fan in the stands, and he pointed something out that I remember that he's correct about this, and this staggers him. This is actually staggering. But the White Sox had a famous knuckleballer. You know who that is, right? Wilbur Wood. And one Sunday, I remember this quite vividly, he pitched both games of the doubleheader, if you can believe that, and finished both games.
Yeah.
Now that is that. And I'm not sure if you remember that. Maybe it was before your time, but that is an astonishing feat. And I would venture to say quite accurately that that's never, ever going to happen again.
Yeah, well, you know, like if, you know, just this week it was funny because they made a big deal out of about, you know, Joe Musgrove came back and made the start for the Braves yesterday after he just pitched 3 days ago. He made the start 3 days ago. What they, again, and you have to kind of leave these things out because you don't want it to ruin a good story. What they forget to leave out is the fact that he was ejected in like the first inning and didn't throw a ton of pitches. So coming back on 3 days rest wasn't really that big of a deal.
No. And we talked about this before. You remember that famous catchphrase when the Boston Braves were in the World Series? Spot insane and pray for rain. Those are the only two starters really that were decent they had. And those guys pitched on a few days rest also. But that was a long time ago when that wasn't such a forbidden subject. It happened.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, and I mean, I guess you look at it now as, I mean, you're protecting $1 million in investments, but you know, like the Padres just sent their, you know, he may have been their best pitcher. They sent Chris Paddock to Class A for 10 days because they want him to rest because he's got an innings limit this year. And he's coming up on it very quickly because apparently I don't think he's ever pitched more than like 90 innings in the big leagues. So they're trying to limit his innings. They sent him all the way to Class A where he's just going to hang out for 10 days and not do anything and then bring him back. And it just,
yeah,
you know, again, it kind of it makes me chuckle because I'm like, you know, if you've got the guy in shape and prepared, there shouldn't be any reason why he can't go out there every 5 days and pitch. You know, I mean, you already limit guys' pitches, so he's not throwing, you know, 130, 140 pitches a game. What's the issue of letting him rack up some innings? I mean, you monitor everything he does. It shouldn't be that difficult.
No, and once again, to get back to the same subject, is that they mollycoddle with pitchers and they baby the pitchers and they do everything possible to keep them injury-free, but it doesn't seem to work. It does not seem to work.
No, it's not great.
And it's very, very peculiar, and I just don't know the answer to it. Yeah, because who knows? You know, we talked about Fergie Jenkins and Bob Gibson and all the other pitchers. Greg Maddux pitched all these innings. When they were pitching in high school or little league or whatever, were they restricted as to the type of pitches they threw? We don't know the answer to that one, but I would say probably not.
No, you know, and I'm sure, you know, what helped them a lot, too, is as little kids, I'm betting they didn't pitch year-round. You know, I'm betting 12 months of the year they weren't out there, wear and tearing your arm up on everything. And, you know, the sad part is you're not going to go out there and just throw fastballs because they're going to want you to work on everything else. I mean, if you were just playing catch every day, that might be a different story, but the fact that, you know, I'm sure they were working on, you know, well, you know, throw your curveball like this, or, you know, this is how you throw the slider, you know, this works that way, this works this way, they're destroying these kids, and, you know, nobody cares because it's all about winning, and, you know, I'm sure every kid thinks, or every dad thinks his kid is going to be the one that gets to the majors.
Yeah, and it's really a shame when you think about some of these guys with great, promising careers that are cut short because of injuries permanently. I mean, 2 or 3 years and they're done. One name that comes to mind, of course, was it Mark Fidrich?
Yeah.
The Bird? Wasn't his nickname the Bird? He had a kind of unusual mannerisms on the mound, and he was terrific. But he didn't last very long, and the injury bugaboo. And his career was over. I mean, he couldn't even stay around after that as a relief pitcher or anything else. He was done.
I mean, you know, you can even look locally. Remember, Mark Pryor had the delivery that would never cause you arm problems.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's right.
What, he stayed with you 1 year?
Yeah, he had the perfect delivery. They said, oh, this guy is going to last for 10, 15 years in the majors because he had a perfect delivery. Well, somehow it didn't turn out to be quite so perfect for him.
You know, and I know he bounced around for a long time, you know, different minor league teams and stuff like that. You know, teams were still willing to take a look at him. But, I mean, he, from what he was, which I believe was he the second overall pick, I believe, to, you know, what he ended up being was just, a gigantic bust. So
after his first year, he had a terrific record, if I remember correctly, his first year.
Actually,
that was it.
Second year. He made 30 starts in his second season. Yeah, he was 18-6 with a 2.43 ERA. Then after that with the Cubs, he made 21-27 and then 9 starts his last year there. That was the last time he pitched in the majors was 2006. But I believe I want to double check his minor league stats. Yeah, he actually hung around in the minors till 2013.
Yeah, he was
so,
in the minors a long time. And I'm wondering what kind of money he was making, though, when he was in the minors. Was his
I'm sure he didn't make much, but as a top draft pick like that, you know, he got a, you know, gigantic signing bonus, you know, because that won't factor into his salary. Like it says, he made $12.8 million with the Cubs at the major league level, but that has nothing to do with signing bonuses or what he was paid as a minor leaguer. So I'm sure, at what point in time he was coaching. I don't know if he's still doing that, but I'm sure, you know, $12 million, if you're smart, you should be okay.
Yeah, I think he was a pretty smart guy, so I think he probably is pretty well set financially. But what a shame. And this is a guy whose signing as one of the top draft signings was justified after his second year.
Yeah.
Except for injuries. And severe enough to ruin his career just before it even got started. Very unfortunate.
Yeah. Just one of those, one of those things that kind of happen, in the game. I was looking here. There's actually an article that's from last year. The guy did the research and went with the top six pitchers whose careers were ruined by injury. He actually starts off with J.R. Smith, the former Houston Astro. Pryor ends up second on the list. Steve Avery rolls in third. If you remember, he was the fourth pitcher in that Braves rotation. Kerry Wood comes in at number five. He throws Fernando Valenzuela in at Kerry Wood comes in at four. Fernando is five. And then Dwight Gooden. People kind of forget that, well, I don't know if it was injuries or if it was drugs, but that kind of ruined his career. He throws him in at six. So,
yeah, the drugs didn't help. Was Smith the pitcher who had a stroke, or am I thinking of somebody else?
Richards. So,
That's right.
Yeah, he actually had a series of them as, they mentioned here. So. I don't want to wrong the guy, but I believe he recently passed away, or I believe he's passed away now.
There are some sad things in baseball. That's why you remember who the famous pitcher from Cleveland, whose career was curtailed by a horrible injury, and it wasn't his arm. It was hitting the eye with a line drive, and never really. He tried to make a comeback after that, but never could. That was Herb Score.
Yeah.
Not an arm-related injury, but that was bad enough. I mean, just a horrible thing that happened to him, and he attempted to come back, but never could do it. And his arm was still okay, but I don't know if he was gun-shy or what caused the problem after he came back, but he didn't last very long. After that.
Here's a wonderful difference for you. Back in 1976, J.R. Richards went 20-15. He made 39 starts and threw 14 complete games. Now, the way it works after that, he went 18-12 and 36 starts with 13 complete games. Then he was 18-11 and 36 starts with 19 complete games. And 1979, he was 18-13 with 38 starts and 19 complete games. I don't think we get 19 complete games combined in baseball now.
Probably not. No, probably not.
No.
That's for sure. Yeah, it's different. It really is different now. You have a guy pitching six innings now. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good effort, right?
Yeah, I think they call that a quality start if you get through six innings
quality.
And give up or less. So there you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way baseball is nowadays.
So, that's what's important. You got to get those quality starts out there. Once you get there, or God forbid you face the lineup. You know, the big thing now is you don't want to pitch against the lineup three times. You know, that third time through the lineup, they're going to kill you. One of the guys sitting in the Hall of Fame right now. See what they think about third time through the lineup.
Yeah, telephone Nolan Ryan if he had any trouble getting through the line at the third time.
Well, remember when Nolan Ryan was Rangers president, one of the things he wanted to put in place was to teach the pitchers to pitch deep into games. And he got so much flack for it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they made
right.
him be the worst person in the world. And it was like, why? Because he wants the guy to pitch more than five innings? So,
yeah, I remember he did get a lot of heat for that, didn't he?
Yeah.
That wasn't that many years ago when that took place either, right? What last 4 or 5 years when this came out? I forgot.
Yeah, it was pretty recent. I'm not sure, you know, how long it was. I think he actually ended up leaving his job, you know, pretty soon after that because of the backlash from that. And it was just like, really, you're going to discount what Nolan Ryan has to say because you think you who've never played the game and just type info into your computer think you know better than Nolan Ryan. Okay.
Yeah, that actually, when you think about what he said, it made a lot of sense. But unfortunately, he took the heat for it. And of course, as we talked about before, Mike Marshall claims that if more people would listen to his techniques and his ideas, that there would never be any pitchers with injury issues.
Well, I'm not sure if you can argue with that. You know, I mean, didn't he pitch in 100 games one season as a reliever?
Yeah, he certainly talked and walked the walk at the same time, didn't he?
Yeah, I think we tracked down his stats once just to kind of check it out, and yeah, it's quite amazing when you kind of look at the things he did compared to kind of like what goes on now. It's such a world of difference here. Let me see if I can find him here. I think I got him. I know there were two Mike Marshalls in the majors, so I got to make sure, or at least two, so I don't get the outfielder. Yeah, no, here you go. We got the pitcher. In 1974, he came in relief 106 times. Two other seasons, he made 90 and 92 appearances.
Yeah, can you imagine anybody doing that now? It's never going to happen.
He won the Cy Young the year he appeared in 106 games. They definitely should have given it to him. He was 15-12 with a 2.42 ERA. He finished 83 of those 106 games. He picked up 21 saves. That's when it wasn't a big stat back then. And you damn well know those 21 saves weren't one-inning saves. He pitched 208 and a third innings. Starters barely do that now.
Yeah, it's a different world we're living in. And so this guy, when he says something, I think more people should listen.
This
guy knows what he's talking about.
Because kind of going over his player card, it doesn't look like he had any injuries.
No.
You know, he always pitched. I mean, he made 90 appearances at the age of 36. So, yeah, maybe, you know, I know from what I've heard, he's a bit of a strange character, but, he might have a pretty good idea about what he's talking about. So.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, that reminds me, do you know that there's a Marshall on the White Sox pitching relief pitcher? I think his ERA is zero.
Yeah, he got the win last night against the Yankees.
Yeah. So maybe the name means something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. Well, you know, the Cubs had Peter Marshall's son, but he didn't have Marshall as a last name. So
how about they had Sean Marshall, right?
Yeah, they did. For those who don't know, I'm old enough to remember Peter Marshall. I believe he was host of the Hollywood Squares and probably some other game shows. But, you know.
I was going to say one other thing, and I know that everybody listening knows this, but don't forget about Frank J. Marshall, who was a famous chess grandmaster.
There you go.
In the 1930s. So. In the 1930s. He was from Canada. And quite an innovative, great attacking player. I'm sure you know all about that one.
Of course. Well, you know, I have to remember to ask you, did you remember to turn the oven on?
I'm glad you reminded me, but yes, I did remember. It's now preheating at 350,
oh.
So in about 7 or 8 minutes, I can put in the pot pie. I'm not burning myself too badly.
Stu has become a master chef while his wife is recovering from her injuries. So
yes, and I hope everybody knows that you're actually the true chef, and a lot more skillful than I am. And for anybody who's listening, I get the different things that John makes, and boy, it sounds good. I'm not sure they always turn out as good as you'd like them to, but sounds like very entertaining and appetizing things that you make for yourself.
Well, remember, I'm the guy who whacked his hand on the mandolin cleaning it and had to go get, you know, his finger fixed. So, and, you know, that's how it worked out. That's how it works out for me sometimes.
look at you hurt yourself that way, and in the ring you're okay.
Yeah, I wish. So, you know, that would have been that would have been scary, but
peaks here and there, but your knees are still aching, I know. But looks like it's gonna rain now. I hope your knees hold up tonight, okay, and your shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, the problem now has been that damn shoulder since that arthritis kicked in. You know, that's been the worst thing. So I'm learning how to do stuff without being able to lift my arm over my head. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You got to make adjustments when you can.
So, but all right. Well, let's get on here. I can tell you, you were perfect again last week. That's 2 weeks in a row. Two weeks in a row you've been perfect. So now you're 28 and 9, excuse me. I gave you a couple extra losses there. That's not good. So, you know, of course, we roll in. We already know the Cubs won't sweep this series, but they have, two games left? Is it just Saturday and Sunday?
Three.
So they have an opportunity I'm thinking it's Saturday. Problem. Okay, so they got 3 games left to win this series. Do they win this series?
I've got some property in Florida I want to sell you, which means that I do not think they're going to win the series.
All right, so then we move on. You know, they're going to come home. They have a 2-game set. It's I'm guessing it's the first 2 games in the crosstown rivalry. The games are at Wrigley Field, so the Cubs will be the home team. So, you know, the usual questions. Are the Cubs going to win this series, and will they sweep those 2 games?
Well, I would say, put me on record right now, I would say the answer is no. I'd say 1-1. So everybody go to the bank and take out some money and make your bet now.
Yeah. And then our bonus question, we're going back to the team with the longest winning streak. That is currently the Atlanta Braves. They've won 7 games in a row. They are 8-2 in their last 10. Tonight they are, where are they? Are they the home team or are they the visitors? That's what I want to find out. Come on, Internet, help me out here. They are at home. They're hosting the Phillies. It's Nick Pivetta against Max Fried. So the question is, do the Braves make it 8 in a row or do the Phillies end that streak tonight?
Well, I would predict that the Braves will make it 8 in a row tonight. They're hot right now, and I think being at home, and I think that they're on a roll. In fact, they've gone into first place, right? They're not, aren't they now in first place in the East?
Yes, they are.
So
yeah, they were able.
I do pick them to continue winning tonight.
Yeah, and I believe the series opened yesterday with a Braves win, so we'll have to see how that goes. Yeah, the Braves are currently a game and a half up on the Phillies. So, you know, should be a, you know, that you know, slowly but surely that's turning into kind of a breakaway 2-team race. You know, the Mets are still hanging around, but they're 6.5 down. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out
are the Mets 500 or under 500?
The Mets are currently 2 games under .500. But yeah, you know, looking at the divisions, I'm wondering what baseball's going to do if, you know, they get out of control. They're not going to have much to focus on, but, you know, hopefully the AL East, the NL East, and the NL Central, you know, the other three divisions, you know, Minnesota's up by 11, Cleveland and the Dodgers are up by 9.5 in their respective divisions. So.
No, you mean Minnesota. Minnesota, not Cleveland. Cleveland the last few years that it's almost automatic reflex, and I don't think anybody predicted the Twins to run away like that. We know they would be a contender, but I never expected them to run away in the division like they're doing right now.
Yeah, no, I know there were some people who thought they could win the division, but not like this. You know, this is just nuts. And, I mean, you know, obviously Cleveland's ran into some bad luck. I mean, they've got two of their top three starters on the DL.
Right,
but,
right.
You know, they, to be fair, they didn't do anything in the offseason to improve.
No, they did not.
You know,
they did not.
Trying to save money.
The funny thing about the – here's the funny thing about the Twins. They seem to be an every other year team. Like,
yeah.
This year they're great. Last year they weren't, so that means that next year they're going to be down, and have a down season again. The way it's been working for them lately. You don't think it's going to happen, but that's been their trend, and I can't figure out why.
No, well, you know, a lot of it, you know, will have to do with, it'll depend how many free agents they have, because obviously they can't pay guys or they won't pay guys what other teams pay them. You know, so like I mentioned, you know, Jake Odorizzi's in a walk year. He's in the last year of his deal. He's a Cy Young contender right now. I mean, he's rolling along. You know, is some team going to come at him? I think he's only 30 maybe. You know, is some team going to come at him at 5 or 6 years at 18 or 20 million? And, you know, the Twins can't match that.
No, they can't. And you know that's going to happen. You know some big market team is going to make him a mega buck offer. So I think that – He's not going to be with them again. So that's what happens with success. I mean, and that's the unfair advantage, the unfair thing for the smaller markets. And not to say that it's pretty size. You know, Twin Cities are pretty large. I mean, they're not really a super small market team, but unfortunately, they can't compete in terms of the big dollars with some of the other teams like Boston and New York and Los Angeles and the other ones.
Yeah, well, you know, that's always the sad part, you know, for like the pod, you throw the Pirates and the Royals in there. You know, there's just, you know, you get a guy and he plays fantastic for you and you can't keep him.
No.
You know, I mean, at least Kansas City got a World Series out of their guys before they lost them all. You know, Kane's a Brewer, Hosmer's in, you know, San Diego. I think the guy they held on to was Alex Gordon. You know, Moustakas is a Brewer. You know, you go through that World Series, and there's very few of them left, you know, in Kansas City.
And it hasn't been that long that they won a World Series a few years ago.
So, you know, but, it's just kind of that, you know, that I can understand why, you know, it's tough on fans. I mean, you get, you know, the Pirates had that run where I think they made, was it 3 straight wild card appearances and ended up losing all 3 games. And then those guys get free agency and they have to go. Or they have to trade them before they get there.
And do you think that the big teams, New York, Boston, Los Angeles, care about going higher than over the luxury tax? You think they really
some
care?
Do, but you're going to have to save them. We're out of time. So, but we're going to take a little fun. I'm coming back for Monday. Dan will be here at 5:30. So we'll be coming over here and check it out. While we're gone, sportstimeradio.com. Look for the blog talk on tomorrow morning. Put all the links over to the Facebook page to get a like. Don't forget to tweet us at sportstimeradio. Feel free to look me up on Twitter. I'm at Bernstein. As always, you can come on here live and listen to what is awesome. But remember, just put up with tunein.com.
You're supposed to be on the podcast anytime you want.